Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and the Spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm rising up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father declare all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, my hope is in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to stay pure, but who will teach them when the whole one won't grow? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the Spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it took more temptation. I'm tired of this body and this tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in You, my strength is in You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changed and try to take me from You. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to stay pure, but who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I'm gonna win, that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You, my friend. Myself for You, oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh, my hope is in You, my strength is in You. Teach me how to know a little more about You, Jesus. I humble myself before You, yes, I humble myself before You, oh Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee with us, and he is going to be bringing part four of The Purpose of a Thing. So as always, I do encourage you, please grab pencil and paper, a notepad, or whatever you may have, and take notes, and that way you can provide commentary at the end of the broadcast and have dialogue with us. We would like to thank you for your continued support of this ministry. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Well, let's just pray and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask You to speak to me so that I can hear. Open thine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Your Word. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. So we are kind of looking at purpose. And I'm understanding more about purpose, because it's necessary to take us to the next dimension, the next opportunity that God has brought to us. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, then abuse is inevitable. And so a lot of times we have lived in and under abuse because we didn't know the purpose. There are plenty of people walking around trying to find out what is the plan of God for their life. What is the purpose for the whole thing? And see, God, he says he does not want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. And purpose is a spiritual thing. See, I'm coming to understand that. See, we would think that because purpose is tangible, that it stopped being spiritual. Everything that's in the earth is spiritual. Okay? There was nothing that was made that was not made by the Word, and the Word is a spiritual force. Just because it has tangibility, you remember same scripture in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word became tangible. It became flesh. See? So then, if I would listen at the Word of God and understand that my purpose is going to come out of the Word of God, then as I handle that, as I continue to meditate on the book of the law day and night, then I would observe or see how to do what is written therein, or I'll see my purpose. Okay? I don't know how we got here, but my purpose did not come out of my desire and out of my passion. No, my purpose came out of the Word. And if I would allow the Word to have first place, then it's easy for me to function in my purpose, because I only do, Jesus stated this, he said, I only do the things that I see the Father do. I only do the things that I hear from him. Because you do remember in Gethsemane, he wanted to do something different. But he said, no, nevertheless, your will, your purpose is what's going to be done. Because he had already told the rulers of the day, he said, man, look here, you can't take my life. No man can take my life. I lay my life down and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. See, he understood his purpose. He did it in the natural, like the end of the thing, because that meant he was going to be separated from God, which he had never been. See? So then it was not like, wow, I really love my purpose and that makes me do it better. It was not his passion, okay, that did it. It was his desire to please the Father, walk in submission to the Father. See, because a lot of times we would say about a thing that because we don't like it, it's not my purpose. Okay? I mean, we dismiss the Word of God so many ways and then take ourselves out of the flow of blessing, because your purpose will make everything else work in your life. You remember in Proverbs chapter 18, it says a man's gift will do what? It will make room for him, and his gift will bring him before great men. He won't have to stand before mean men. Your gift is attached to your purpose, but your gift is not your purpose. Your gift can be used because the purpose is understood. Okay? He gave gifts to men, and the gifts that he gave came out of the seed that went into the ground, and he was that seed. If he does not go into the ground, the seed that doesn't go into the ground, does not fall into the ground, it abides alone. But if it goes, if it dies and goes into the ground, it will become fruitful. See? So then we have to understand that sometimes the plan and purpose of God is not going to be in your happy zone. I mean, okay, God has given us things that we should do. And when I first understood fasting, surely I said, God, there has to be a better way. I mean, this is not something I wake up looking for. But when I bring my body under the purpose of God, then my life becomes more fruitful because I died to myself, and now God can have rule. He can have authority. When I die to myself, I give God more latitude in my life. I'm no longer on the throne. He is. See? And the purpose of fasting, I did not like it at first. See, I was saying, surely, God, we can figure out some other way for you to make me hear what I need to hear. But I found out that because I didn't want to fast, all I was listening to is the conversations of my own heart. And my flesh was trying to direct me in another path. See, in a place where I would now try to gain victory by the mind, by the flesh, by what I can accomplish, see, rather than joining his heart and allowing him to do what I cannot do. Okay? I mean, that's some of the things, just beloved, you might as well know that. If you're still trying to control a situation, then you haven't given your heart over to him. He said you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. That means I don't leave anything out. There is no room for me if I love him with all. Okay? See, but a lot of times we have been programmed because of the societal way of understanding that I am going to be the one that determines how it goes. I am the one, really, let's understand this. I'm not the one that determines how it goes. I am the one that determines how it flows. Because if I submit to God, I have allowed him to turn on the flow that my life out of my belly, flows the rivers of living water. Not because I'm the one turning the spigot on. It didn't say that out of my belly I will turn on the spigot. It said out of my belly flows. See? I look at Psalms 37, verses 3 through 6, and I understand some. I look at it differently. Because he said that if I would delight myself also in the Lord, then he shall give me the desires of my heart. It didn't say, if just listen at what he said. Flip over there. Okay, I just want you to see this. Again, this is just kind of like Psalms 37. Okay, I've already alluded to it, made mention of it. You're supposed to love the Lord with all your heart, okay? Here he says it another way. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. It didn't say, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and then you can direct your path. So that's not what it said. Watch what it says here in verse 3 of 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily, thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. The same way you trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord. Trust and also delight. Trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I mean, I just need for you to get how the surrender is supposed to happen. See, I run into, I contact purpose, and then when I contact purpose, now I have to surrender to purpose. If I don't surrender to purpose, then purpose cannot accomplish in me. Delight myself also in him, and he will then give me the desires of my heart. Commit my ways unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. See? It's about submission to his word. Because if I'm going to lean to my own understanding, then I'm not acknowledging him. I am trying to direct him, and he's the one that should do the directing. I mean, maybe that's one of the quicker ways for you to find out if your life is lining up with the authority that God wants you to walk in. People that walk under authority are still under authority. They are not the authority. They are under authority. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It didn't say the earth is Stevie's or even this part of the world. See, yes, he will bruise Satan under my heel, and he will cause me to have dominion. Got that. Understand that. But my dominion flows because I submit to authority. My dominion does not work self-approved. Okay? And a lot of times, that's unfortunately what we do. We try to dictate how it's going to go. All we need to do is engage God and then allow ourselves to be co-laborers with him. See, he's still Lord. I'm still his son. I'm still the servant. See? And if I walk in that position all of the time, then my life gets better. See, if we attach everything back to the word, Jesus said, I am come, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I cannot have the life more abundantly if I don't submit to the I that has come. Okay? I am is the reason the whole thing works. Okay? If an I am is perfect present tense. I am is not I used to be. I am is not I will be. I am is perfect present tense. If he's not ruling now, then I'm in trouble trying to get to the abundant life that I am come so that you can have it. Okay? It's just that those are areas I'm trying to get us to really surrender in, because he doesn't want you to be frustrated, beloved. And if you do a thing, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end of that way is destruction. Let's go and understand that a little deeper. If the end of that way is destruction, then the path that I take to get to that end is also going to be destructive. The end of it is destruction, but the path that I use will be destructive. I will always be going through and never walking in victory. I'll always be trying to coerce God to do something on my behalf. When he wants to Ephesians 3:20, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. But please hear, it's according to the power that works in me, not the power that works through me. The power that works in me is me submitting to him, and then he's able to bring things to pass. Delight yourself also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See? trust in the Lord. I mean, just look at this. See? Trust in the Lord. Do good. Because if you do that, you'll be fed. No, because if you do that, I'm sorry, you will dwell in the land. I mean, God's trying to get your house so that you would be able to enjoy where you live. He said, if you would just trust in the Lord and do good, you shall dwell in the land. And then because of that position, because you are dwelling in the land, because of that, verily, you shall be fed. Supply shall be met. And then because you can see it came from him and not you, now delight yourself also the same way you trust. And he shall give you things. He shall cause you to see stuff. Again, this is what he told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? So that you will be able to see how to do what I said. You'll be able to observe the thing. Okay, okay. Just looking at that, he said, if you would meditate day and night, not only will you hear what you are meditating on, you will be then taken to the next dimension of this. You will then see how to do. If I stay in the Word day and night, I will have an unction and an understanding, an inspiration. And as I have that inspiration, okay, I'll even go deeper. As I get a revelation, then the devil cannot even stop that revelation because Jesus builds his house upon the rock of revelation. If you dwell in this position, if you trust in the Lord, you will then dwell in the land because you live there. He will build his house out of the revelation of those that dwell there. See, a lot of times, I believe, we just visit the Lord. And as we visit, you can get excited about the visitation. But when you are just excited about the visitation, that's not dwelling there. When I dwell there, just so that you can get this picture, people that visit your home, they might be able to eat some of the food that you give them. But people that live in your house, they simply go to the refrigerator. See, because they dwell there. It's one thing that it's good to have a visitation and I can get a meal while I'm there. But it's another thing altogether to know that my supply comes from the house. And God is trying to get us to a place where we know our supply comes from the house. That's why he says, my God, the one that is that I adhere to, the one that I trust in, the one that I give towards. Because when I give, my God now, this is what he says in Philippians chapter 4, because of your giving, because of your submission, because of your obedience to the purpose of God, he says, now my God shall supply. And he's not just going to supply visitation needs. My God is now going to supply all your needs. And he's going to do it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Please tie this thing together, beloved. See, when I see and understand purpose, I'm not just trying to do things accidentally because I need to so I can get a blessing. No, I'm living in the blessing. Come on. I was called to bless, to be a blessing. I was called to the place of blessing. Called there. See? I don't have to try to investigate blessing. Come on. Did he not say that the Lord daily loads you down with benefits? See, I'm not looking for blessing. God is trying to overflow me with blessing. But it comes when I understand that the purpose that God has for me is for me to submit to him. It's not me trying to go and get his hand to move. Beloved, if you would move the heart of God, his hand is automatic. Amen. I'm seeking his heart. I'm not seeking his hand. See, people that seek his hand, they would be the same as the people that were trying to walk after God because of the loaves. Jesus wasn't too happy about that. He told them, he said, no, you following me because of the loaves. But I need for you to follow me because of relationship that you want to have and establish for your life. See? He wants to keep the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. Why are you looking over the whole earth, God? So that I can show myself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards me, that have a heart that is mature towards me, that understand purpose, not just understand gifts. They dwell there. These are not people that are excited about visitation. My eyes run over the whole earth looking for these people. See? I want to show myself strong. He didn't say, I want to just give you something that'll give you a goosebump, make you have something to talk about for a week. He said, no, I want to show myself strong on their behalf. See, that's a person that has become a co-laborer. See? That's a person that has come to understand that my God shall. The word shall is an absolute imperative. My God shall supply all your need. And he's not going to even do it. Come on, y'all. He's not going to even do it according to the things that you do. He's going to do it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See? That's what he's going to do it by. So then if I'm getting my supply from Christ Jesus, just so that we get it, if I get my supply from Christ Jesus, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from that position. Because everything that Christ Jesus releases comes from the Father. And every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. See? So that's who's supplying my need. It's going to be not only good, it's going to be good and perfect. That's who's supplying my need. See, when I understand purpose, I function from a position of victory from the very beginning, because purpose is eternal. Let's just look at that so that we can understand that. Turn to Isaiah 14. I just want you to see that purpose is eternal. Okay? Let's look at Isaiah 14, starting at verse 24. Okay? And I just want you to see these things. Purpose is eternal. In verse 24, and this was written because God was giving the devil exactly what was going to happen in his life. God was telling him, because of what he did, this is what's going to happen, and it ain't going to change. Watch this. Verse 24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And then he goes on and says, that I will break the Assyrian into the land upon my mountains and tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden shall depart off of their shoulders. Well, I just love that. And he says, this is the purpose that is purposed in the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall differ know? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? So that scripture just told me that purpose is eternal. That purpose is not going to change. Execution of the purpose might change because people might not be as submitted to the purpose, but the purpose never changed. Okay? If I would start living from that position, I'll start enjoying what purpose brings to my life. See, purpose comes before the promise. Purpose is the power behind the promise.
purpose provides provision in the promise. See, because God does not speak idle words, he cannot make idle promises, so his words have purpose, or even better yet, his words are purpose. His word is forever settled. That's what it says in Psalms 119, verse 89. It says, thy word is forever settled in the heaven. See? So that if, as the word is settled, then I can count on the promise that he has given, the purpose that he's released to happen in my life. See? Another place where it shows you that purpose is eternal. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And it reads thusly, starting at verse 1. Okay. Okay, I'll just, for this call, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of grace which is given to me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, Paul starts this out by giving us an inference to purpose. He says, this is the reason I'm writing to you. I heard of things that God wanted to tell you, and he told me to write it to you so that in a few words, that's good. Sir. This is a man that wrote 2/3 of the Bible, of the New Testament, and he says here that these were just a few words. Glory to God. These words right here that we're going to kind of look at today, they will impact your life forever. And he said, these are just a few words. So then if I would stay with God, who is always talking, who is always communicating to us, I can get additional words, can't I? I can get words that will work in different areas of my life. I got a word for healing. Amen. Thank you, God. But then he can give me another word for deliverance. Amen. Thank you, God. He can then give me another word for financial breakthrough. Thank you for that word. He can give me another word for stability. Thank you, God. He's just what we're reading here in this chapter, what we are seeing most of the time. He said these are just a few words. Whereby, when you read, you'll understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Because of this, wherefore, purpose again, I was made a minister. I was made a helper. He called himself a helper of thy faith. So Paul is, again, going back to the thing where he understands his purpose. See, he says, all of this stuff that I got, everything that works, it was because I was made a minister. According to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by, underline, the effectual working of his power. That purpose that Paul understands, he said, it is going to work effectively. Okay? That's why I know God does not want you to be frustrated. He just said here that his gospel, this power that he gave, released to Paul to give to us, is supposed to be effectual. I made a minister according to the gift of grace given to me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see. So Paul is supposed to be able to give us the same position of thought that comes from meditating on the word day and night, because then we will be able to observe to do. Paul wants to be able to give us, through these writings, the ability to see. He said, this is so good, I'm not just going to give it to family members, I'm going to give it to Gentiles. I want all men to see. What do you want them to see? What is the fellowship of the mystery? From the beginning of the world. See, this is the way God has been thinking from Jump Street, from the beginning of the world. This is not just some Johnny-come-lately stuff. God had this in mind day one. Okay? And then because of decisions that we made, we lost the connection, and so we lost the vision. We lost the connection with God. We were separated by sin, and so sin kept us blind. But Paul is saying God wants you to be able to look into this mystery again, which was hid in God. That's, I love him. I love it. He says he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in a place where it could not be corrupted. It could not be stopped, because God is not going to allow that. Don't you remember in 1 Peter, it says that we are born again by an incorruptible word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is incorruptible, indestructible. It abides and remains forever. I mean, God hid it in himself because he didn't want us to be without it. We let go and disconnected, but he hid it in himself because he knew he would come and reconnect us with this mystery. He wants us to see the fellowship of this mystery, which was in the beginning hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Again, now he's going to go back to purpose, to the intent, for the purpose, that now unto principalities, powers, and heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He says he wants to show demonic rulers, principalities. He wants to show them what God put in you. Glory to God. He wants to reveal that. Okay. He wants to reveal that, which means that it was concealed. Okay? Get that? God wants to reveal it, which means up to now it was concealed. It was in him, and you are in him. And he's going to take that, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's going to take that, and he's going to release it through you, for you. Glory to God. This is the intent, he said, that he would show that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, he wants to make known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember in Isaiah, he says, this is the purpose that was purposed in the whole earth, that he would be able to show the devil that God's plan is going to be executed by people that he's given authority to. Church members, sons of God, daughters of Zion. This is the eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because it's eternal, he said, now you have been given boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Underline, circle, put stars and highlight that. He said, this eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please know that if you're not going to make him Lord, you will not have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. If you're just going to make him your friend, amen. And some people, they just want to be a friend with God. I get that. But I would much rather make him Lord, because it gives me access to an eternal purpose. That's what he just said. according to the eternal purpose, which is purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, Lord, we have boldness, we have access with confidence by the faith of him. Woo, glory. I mean, that's a mouthful. See, when you understand that my life was meant to live by and through purpose, then I just don't try to become a friend of God. See, I go to whatever the next level of God would be, and that would be when I make him Lord. He's looking over the whole earth to show himself strong, or to find those that have made him Lord. I don't make decisions on my own. I delight also in the Lord, and then he will give me the desires of my heart. He will cause me to know what to do next. He will give me my steps that are ordered. See? And because of this, I desire that you don't faint at tribulations. If you hear about stuff going on in the world, he said, I don't want you to have to faint at these tribulations. Because I know in whom I believe. And I know that that which I've committed unto him, he's able to do. I know that. See, because as I learned these things, I went through a shipwreck. And there stood by me an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And he told me, it's going to be okay. He says, you're going to lose the ship, but you won't lose a life. If you will not decree that you will bring them to victory, I'll take them to victory. Whatever you say, Paul. Because you agree with me, Paul. There was an angel that stood by me this night while I was in the midst of a horrible storm. It was a storm that was so bad that everybody was knowing that this was the end of it. But Paul told them, he said, men, be of good cheer. Wait a minute, y'all. He's in the middle of a death-defying storm. And he tells the men, be of good cheer. Change your heart's position as you're going through this stuff. Come on. He says, I need for you to know that there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, and I believe him. Woo! He says, so I don't want you to faint because of tribulation, because the tribulations that's happening is for your glory. Hallelujah. See, when you live by purpose, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be moved, because you know only thing that's going to happen is glory that's supposed to be deposited for you is going to be revealed. And listen at the position of faith that Paul speaks from. Because of this, for this cause, purpose is now speaking, if you would. And this is the speech, the dialect of purpose. For this cause, I pray for you. I bow my knees unto the I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't bow my knees to situations, circumstances. Just like the Hebrew boys that didn't bow their knees to say what the king wanted them to say. And they say, even if God don't deliver us, know this, okay, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bow down to circumstances. We're not going to bow down to pressure. I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only person I bow my knee to. I bow my knee. I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord. I bow my knee in victory. I don't bow my knee in worry. Glory to God. Paul says, I'm not going to pray because of the trouble I'm going through. I'm not going to pray because of the trouble you see. I'm only going to bow my knee to the Lord, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know something. This is my confidence. Of whom the whole family, excuse me, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. See, this is what we should be getting out of this. He says, I'm bowing my knee that you would be, that he would grant you according to the riches. Wait a minute, y'all. He didn't say, I'm bowing my knee and hoping you'll get something from someplace. He says, no, what I'm asking God for on your behalf, because I know the whole family is vain, both in heaven and in earth, after the one who's going to bring victory. I'm going to pray that you would, that he would grant you according to the riches, not just according to the beggarly elements. In other words, I'm praying that you will have more than enough, because he's going to meet your need by riches. He's going to supply for you from a position of power and strength. He's not going to supply for you on barely. He does not want you to be on barely get along street, and he's not going to supply for you on that street. He's going to supply for you on riches, from riches. See, that's what he's going to supply for you on. And he says that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Wait a minute. Let's go back and dig into that, because he said that when you understand purpose, you speak from a different position. Your expectation is different. You know that because God is on your side and you are a co-laborer with him, that you're going to receive from his riches in glory. You're going to receive strength and might by his spirit in the inner man, which will cause not only, come on. Here comes the two-edged. God wants you to dwell in his presence, and then he wants his presence to dwell in you. Look at that. He just said that you may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. He just said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Then he says, and I want you to know that Christ wants to dwell in there with you. Isn't that what we said in John chapter 15? It says, if you abide in me, dwell there. And my words abide in you, dwell there. Then, because of your connection, cement connection, not a wavering connection, a secure, sure connection. Because I abide in you and you abide in me, my words abide in you and you abide in my words, because this connection is sure. Now, your conversation, you will ask what you will and it will be given you. See, when I live by purpose, when I live on purpose, see, I'm able to speak from a position of power, because I can speak out of the wells, the rivers of living water. I can speak out of the thing that is sure on the inside of me. See? Because I can declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto me. See? I will know that every word that I speak is a word of power. It is a word of victory. It is not just a word of solicitation. See, we have to walk differently, okay? Because if we don't walk differently, then the devil knows that I'm not really believing what I said. See, because Jesus told us, he says, have the faith of God, Mark 11:22, and follow. Have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. See, you begin to then speak from power, not speak from desire, because I need it to happen, God. I'm already guaranteed it's going to happen. Why? Because Christ dwells in my heart by faith, and that I am rooted and grounded in love. I was talking to someone this morning, and I said something that was just so powerful. I hadn't heard it. I know it, but I hadn't heard it this way. David was a man that was after God's own heart. And it didn't say David was a man after God's hand. It said David was a man that was after God's heart. He wanted a connection with God. Even when David blew it, David still wanted to connect with God. Okay? So if I connect with God, this is what David learned. David learned how to love God. He learned how to do that so that he can expect love from God. And because David learned to love God, he learned to love him in worship. He learned to love him in meditation. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. I love your precepts. See, David learned how to love God. And then because he learned how to love God, he then lived as a beloved king. Oh, Lord, I love it. He learned to love God, and then through that, he learned how he could live as a beloved king. Out of all of the kings that were over Israel, David was a beloved king. I mean, there were people that, not only was it their job, it was their honor to die for him. Because he lived as a beloved king. I mean, David just wanted some water one time. And the man risked his life to go get some water for the king. And David poured it out as an offering before the Lord. See, I mean, this is that's a whole different way of thinking. We don't live that way. We should, because the Bible teaches us right here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, and you has he made accepted in the beloved. So he wants you to live through that position of love. Look at that. He says that that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. See, when I'm rooted and grounded in it, nothing can move me. I can now execute my purpose because I'm not questioning if God loves me or not. I'm rooted and grounded in that. I'm settled in that fact. See? There's nothing that would happen that would cause me not to understand and believe that. I'm rooted and grounded in that. In other words, I'm going to produce fruit for my life from the love of God. I'm rooted and grounded in it. I'm established in it. So now the fruit of the Spirit flows because I'm rooted and grounded. I'm not questioning and hoping. I'm rooted and grounded. And he says, because I'm rooted and grounded, verse 18 says, that I would then be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and I will know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. He just told me that I'll be able to be sustained no matter how deep the trial, wide the trial, high the trial, thick the trial, it won't matter. Because in the trial, being rooted and grounded, I will know. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will know the love of God. The word know there is the same word that is in intimacy with sexual union. I will know or be intimate with the love of God. so that if I'm in a trial that's long, if I'm in a trial that's deep, if I'm in a trial that's high, if I'm in a trial that's wide, the love of God that I am intimate with passes my knowledge. I don't even need my brain anymore, because this love passes, takes me beyond what I understand. That's good, sir. It takes me beyond what I understand and takes me into what I believe. Because if I would believe, Jesus says, all things now are possible. All things are not possible for him that understands. All things are possible for him that believes. Because sometimes when I understand, I go to limits because that's all I understand. But if I would be rooted and grounded in the love of God and be intimate with the love of God, then that love of God will take me past what I understand. Glory to God. I mean, he just took all limits off. That's why he says God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. Okay? Because love takes you to another dimension. Love opens doors that understanding doesn't have. Because if understanding had it, he would not take the love and take me past that. I hope you get that. I hope you see that. I have no problem with education. Not an issue. But his love can take me past knowledge. His love takes me past the point when everything stops working according to my understanding. His love opens up a hope against hope. And because they are hoping against hope, this hope that has been shed abroad in my heart, it will cause me then to enter into another dimension. See? It'll make it, that's what he said, this hope makes me not ashamed. See? I'll then have a different view of experiential revelation. I don't have to stop at experiential knowledge. I can enter into experiential revelation. Please write that down. Because a lot of times in our lives, we have lived by experiential knowledge. Things that have happened to us in our past, that's experiential knowledge. But he wants to invite us into experiential revelation. Because again, on the rock of revelation, he says the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. He can't touch this. He can't stop this. See? So then when I understand that the purpose that God has for my life, which is eternal, and I'm called to let demonic rulers know this love, because I'm rooted and grounded in it. And if that wasn't enough, he said, I'll know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And then because of that, now I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory to God. When I do this, when I understand purpose correctly, live by purpose, on purpose, because everything God made, he made it by purpose, on purpose, for the purpose of thy victory. And so then when I get to the place where I live in that love through that purpose, I'll then go past knowledge, and then I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory. He says, if I would do this, God will take me to a place where it settles me on a higher plane. I'll be filled. Okay. It's a saying that a rising tide raises all boats, floats all boats. Well, if I'm filled, then I go to a higher dimension, another level, because rising tides cause all boats to float, to be at a different level. When God can fill you with all his fullness, you know what? Lack is already done. It's gone. It's over. Worry, gone, over. Fear, gone, over. Why? Because I am now in a position where I am being filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. And tell me, what can stop you? And then because of that, he says, verse 20, now that you are rooted and grounded, now that you are able to comprehend what is the length, breadth, height, and depth of the love of God, now that you've gone past experiential knowledge into revelation experience, now you can fulfill what he wants to do now unto him. When? Now. When this happens in your life. When you are settled in purpose. When you are settled in the love of God. Because the purpose that he called you is so that you would understand this love. And when you understand this love, live in this love, abide in this love now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can dare ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Not the power that works through you, but the power that lifts you up. It didn't say, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all you can dare think, ask or think, according to the power you work. He said it's according to the power that works in you. See, I'm a co-laborer with him. I'm one that has submitted myself to him. A couple of things I'd just like for you to think about in this. Notice that Paul started this out. He says that there was a grace. See, purpose works best when grace is involved. Paul said stuff like, I am what I am by the grace of God. Purpose is always assisted by grace and glory. It's the glory of the Lord that settles the thing. The glory of the Lord is the confirmation and the approval of God. When glory is seen, victory is imminent. When glory lifts, when it's not there, we try to get things done in our might, in our strength, or by our willpower. Because all is sin and falling short of the glory. But God wants us to know that the purpose life, purpose management, puts you back in a place of victory. Glory and purpose activates the grace of God. Grace is not for the sin in our lives. Grace is God's answer for sin. Okay, Romans chapter 8 says, and for sin, God condemns sin in the flesh through Jesus Christ. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what sin could not do in that it was weak, God for sin condemns sin in the flesh. Okay? Sin, grace was not for just my sin. Grace was to empower me so that I can live above it. Grace is God's answer for sin. Remember, Jesus came into the earth and he was full of grace and truth. John 1:14. And we're supposed to be partakers of his fullness. We're supposed to be partakers of his grace and his truth. I'd like to give you two acronyms. The first one is the word grace. Grace, the acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything I need, Jesus paid for it at the cross. And so God is going to give me his riches because Jesus paid for it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Purpose, the acronym for purpose, is people using righteous practices overcoming selfish enticements. Purpose, people using righteous practices overcoming selfish enticements. When I practice what righteousness brought to me, when I practice the purpose why what God had in his mind to deliver me, it's people using righteous practices overcoming selfish enticements. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He will cause you to understand purpose, make you live in that purpose that you just heard about. See, when we understand the purpose of grace, then we will use it to overcome, and we will not use it as a band-aid for our sin. Paul didn't say, I am what I am because of sin. He said, I am what I am because of grace, by the grace of God. See, I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner perpetually changed by grace. I'm not made invisible by grace because God doesn't see my sin no more. No, I'm empowered by grace. This is the internal purpose. And this eternal purpose activates revelation that flows through living glory and brings abiding victory. To the intent that now the principalities and powers might see the manifold wisdom of God through us, the church. People using righteous practices. They do it over and over and over. They practice righteousness over and over and over again. They don't practice falling. They don't practice sinning. They practice righteousness. Just some Selah thoughts here. Faith is the action plan of purpose. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the action plan of purpose. Hope would be the trigger of faith, okay? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So that would be the trigger. Love would be the power of faith because faith worketh by love. Joy is the strength of faith because it remains in place while faith moves, while faith gains victory. Joy stays there. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That we're supposed to draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, faith is the action plan of purpose. Hope is the trigger of purpose. Love is the power of the purpose. Joy is the strength of purpose. Because the joy of the Lord strengthens you to be able to do it. See, now we can allow the fruit of the Spirit, the increase of the Spirit, the produce of the Spirit to be made manifest. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We just listed what the purpose of God wants us to do. See, so we got to get back into the thing from a different perspective. I'm not just trying to get God to be a genie that does all the things I want him to do. I need to understand how to develop my purpose, live on purpose, live through purpose. Because once purpose is understood, victory is guaranteed. See? Victory causes active revelation. It's connected to Purpose is connected to active revelation through flowing, living glory, and it brings abiding victory. Every time, all the time. Jesus lived on purpose. Jesus died on purpose so we can live on purpose. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we do bless you. We do praise you for giving us revelation of your grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, your purpose where people use righteous practices to overcome selfish enticements so that we can bring glory and honor to you, so that we can release the power that you put on the inside of us on purpose every time. Thank you, Father, that as we do this, it will make our lives so much better because it will give glory and honor and praise to you, our Father, our King. We ask and receive this now is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, everyone, let's go ahead and open up lines and receive commentary on tonight's teaching, starting with area code 470-418. 470-418, you have the mic.
Amen. Welcome, 470-418. Amen. Well, if thank you for joining the broadcast, and we just give you opportunity to seal it. You know, that's one of the things that they overcame by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So when you come and bring comment, it's having God have the ability to seal in your spirit what you just heard. So we're not trying to put you on the spot. We're just giving God an opportunity to seal it in your spirit. Amen.
All right, area code 404-453. 404-453, you have the mic.
Amen. Area code 404-453. Amen. Again, thank you for being on the call.
All right, area code 352-870.
352-870.
Amen.
Good evening. I just want to thank God for this instruction to obtain and to be, to live in the Word and by the Word. It's just out of the park tonight. This teaching just out of the park. That's how it, you know, that's the only way I could describe it. And I'm just amen. so thankful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for being part of the call. I mean, this is what he's called us to live in. Okay? He created us to live in glory. And now we're learning how the glory is supposed to be released. That's basically my job, is to invite you again back into the place that God created you for. See, a lot of times we think because we read Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We didn't read the rest of it that told us that's why he sent Jesus to the cross so he can restore us back to the place where glory can be released. He can now trust us. He made us sons. We are accepted in the beloved. He made us sons so glory can fill the earth. That's what he said. Habakkuk 2:14. It says that the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. Well, that means everybody in it gonna have to have some of this glory released. That'd be us. Amen. So thank you for being a part of the call tonight. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mike. All right, area code 312-330.
312-330,
you have the mic.
Thank you. I just want to say that today's teaching was really out of the park. So much good scripture, so much word. And I love the book of Ephesians, and you broke that down really, really well. And, I just want to say that as a woman, when you read the scriptures, you wonder where you fit in, because it says that they shall become the sons of God, power to become the sons of God. And you kind of wonder, well, where do you fit in? But you fit in because having been made from a rib of the first man, inner man lives inside us when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
So it all comes together. And like I said, today you really did teach the word of God. And I am so grateful. And God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And it's an interesting construct, because that's one of the things that the devil would use to pick you off, because people will tell you the Bible was written by men, to men. No, well, then if you would understand Paul, who the one they thought was showing up racist, prejudice, and all that stuff. No, he said, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is not male nor female, bond or Scythian, barbarian, free. It says you have to come to the place where you understand spiritually that the rib that you were made from, very good point, caused you to be a different being. You are no longer a flesh thing. He breathed into you, and that caused you to be a living soul. The gender is not the important thing, but we made it the important thing. The living soul is what's important. Amen. So you can take that and you can live in freedom then. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He didn't say whom the Son made a man is a man indeed. He said whom the Son sets free. And your freedom is in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. In your flesh dwells no good thing. Your gender resides from a flesh position. So it's just, you know, I get it. I know how the devil has set that up and has separated things, especially in this time where we're dealing with a whole Me Too movement and all of that. Just come to Jesus and be free, because I guarantee you he can meet you where you are and cause you to fulfill purpose rather than fulfill party. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Uh-huh. Area code 770-315. 770-315, you have the mic.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Go ahead. 770-315, you have the mic.
I think
you might have
listening.
To turn your phone down. Okay. Okay, it's
all right. Let's go to 770-823.
770-823. Amen. Amen.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, you have the mic.
How you doing? That the message was very, very powerful. I appreciate that. I needed it. And
amen.
I'm just blessed by the way you brought it. It was really powerful. I thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right. God is faithful.
All right.
Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
All right, Pastor Steve. That is the end of our list of calls for tonight. Is there anything else?
All right. Again, I would just like for us to revisit it. Not out of obligation, but investigation. God is he says, come, let us reason together. Okay, that puts us in a position of investigation, not obligation. If I'm coming because I have to come, then my heart's not in the right place anyway. It would be better for me to come because of investigation, not because of just being inquisitive, but because I want to know. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? Are you disciplined in what you do? And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's coming for investigation, not just to be inquisitive. God was not too happy with the people that gazed upon him. Okay? So he doesn't want you to come just because you were inquisitive. He wants you to come because you heard and you want to dig into. He wants that. See, he's not mad. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he's not mad or upbraids you not. He's not mad because you ask. See, so that's what I just want people to again, you can hear, and Brother Mike, they can go back and go online and go to livedeliverance.com, and you can hear the messages over and over again, because sometimes I know that I bring a lot. That's just how God does with me. It's fresh. It comes in about the same time you hear it, okay? So then I can't stop and delineate all of it because it's coming in too. I didn't even get through all the notes today. But I was happy with what God released, and it will bless you. Go back and listen to it so that you can derive more information, inspiration, and then become victorious with greater ease. Okay? So let's just do that, y'all. Let's just do that. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude tonight's broadcast. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance, you can go to www.livedeliverance.com. There you can sow your seed of or a donation if you would like. We would like to thank you for your continued support. Thank you for your continued faith in bearing with us in the ministry. And with that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Shalom.